Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. It is my pleasure to welcome back Adrian Messer. Welcome back, Adrian.
Thanks, James. Good to be here again.
Now, for those of you that may not remember Adrian or didn't have the opportunity to listen to the previous episode with Adrian, we talked about ultrasound-assisted bearing lubrication. We really talked about using the ultrasound technology to improve our lubrication practices. Now, today we're going to talk about ultrasound again, but we're going to talk about using it for condition monitoring. But before we jump into that, just a brief bio on Adrian. You graduated from Clemson University, you have your CMRP, and then you are now the operations manager for UE Systems, and you've been involved in this technology for over 15 years. Is that about your bio?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So if you listen to the previous podcast, you know, it's a great time to be a Tiger. So if you follow college football at all. But really enjoy being in the maintenance and reliability industry. I've gotten to know a lot of people very well. And it's just a fun job, fun career. So again, glad to be here.
Excellent. Now, in the last episode, you described ultrasound. But for those that may have missed it, what is ultrasound?
Okay, so it's important to know that there are really three different forms of ultrasound. The most traditional form of ultrasound and the form of ultrasound that we think of when we hear the word ultrasound is the medical form of ultrasound, and that's going to be the pulse echo form of ultrasound. There's also another form of ultrasound that is more power ultrasound, where high-frequency sound waves are used to clean parts. So many of you probably have an ultrasonic parts cleaner or an ultrasonic cleaner at your facility where, again, high-frequency sound waves that have energy are used to clean the part. But the form of ultrasound that we deal with at UE Systems is airborne and structure-borne. So we're not emitting anything like the power ultrasound or the pulse echo ultrasound, but we're using ultrasound to listen for sounds that we can't hear. So the instruments have piezoelectric crystal receivers that sense or receive the sound, and then the instrument, through a process called heterodyning or translation, then translates that inaudible sound to audible sound that we would hear in the headset of our ultraprobe.
Excellent. Now that we understand the three different types, how does ultrasound condition monitoring work? How do we apply that within an organization?
Sure. Where we've seen people use our equipment, and let me kind of start off with this. 15 years ago, some of the hardest people to talk to about using ultrasound for bearing condition monitoring or, condition monitoring of rotating equipment, some of the hardest people to talk to about that were your vibration analysts, people who had been using vibration analysis for, 20 plus years. They didn't want to hear about ultrasound. Now, fast forward, 15 years now, some of our best ultrasound condition monitoring users are people that have had vibration analyst background. So it's been very, very cool to see that transition take place and to see that people who have been previous users of other technologies have become very accepting to using ultrasound for bearing condition monitoring. So again, we see a lot of people complementing their vibration analysis with ultrasound. And we see a lot of people who want to develop and start a condition monitoring program, but, don't have the luxury to invest in vibration equipment, vibration training. So ultrasound is a good place for them to start because ultrasound is a very versatile technology. You can typically realize the savings or, show a quick return on investment within a couple of days just from compressed air leak detection alone. So a lot of people will justify the cost of the equipment based off of the dollar amount of compressed air leaks that they find. And then once they've shown that, and then once those savings have been realized, you can use the same instrument for a bearing condition monitoring program. So it's very versatile, and then yet very complementary to other technologies.
Excellent, because when I think back about ultrasound, typically it was to fix air leaks, right? And as the technology matures, it gains more acceptance, it's going beyond just that air leak. You mentioned bearings. What are some of the other areas where ultrasound can be used for condition monitoring?
Okay, yeah, another energy application is going to be steam trap inspection. And again, very easy to do. And depending on the amount of steam that someone is using and then how clean it has to be, you know, the cost of the steam, again, the savings can be realized very quickly. So steam traps, valves, and then the electrical inspection, that's really become a big application for us. And really what's driving that application is just safety. So we can take an ultrasound instrument, you know, the same one that we can use for compressed air leak detection, the same one for steam traps, the same one for bearing condition monitoring. And we can take that instrument and we can listen to energized electrical equipment without having to open that cabinet up. So what happens is if you have an electrical fault in there that's creating high frequency sound, that sound will exit out wherever there's an opening. So louvers, vent openings, the seal around the door. If you have an ultrasound port installed, you know, that gives you a perfect location to listen to that cabinet. So we're listening to see if there are faults like corona, tracking and arcing taking place before we actually open it up. So in a sense, it's a way to let us know of potential problems before we open up that cabinet to do some sort of further inspection. So it's a way to hopefully reduce the risk or the chance of an arc flash occurring. So those are really the core applications where we focus in on compressed air leak detection, steam traps, bearing condition monitoring, bearing lubrication, and electrical inspection.
Excellent. So we have those four big categories of where we can use ultrasound within our condition monitoring program. Now, within those categories, what are the types of conditions we're looking for? Is it just friction and turbulence, or are there others that we're looking for?
Yep. So friction is going to be when a bearing that's in need of lubrication has an increase in noise because there's an increase in friction. So we can use ultrasound to more precisely lubricate bearings. Turbulence from compressed air leak detection or compressed air leaks, as well as internal turbulence across a valve or a steam trap. That's a source of ultrasound. And ionization-based faults, you know, ionization being a great example of ionization is corona discharge, where we have the ionization of air surrounding an electrical connection above 1,000 volts. That produces high-frequency sound, and that's what we can hear with our ultraprobe. And then we can also hear, mainly with slow-speed bearings, what I call impacting or impacts, to where if you have a slow-speed bearing and if you have a fault either, you know, inner race, outer race, or some other, you know, cage-type defect, if there's a fault in there, it's going to create a very subtle click or a pop or a screech. And of course, we can hear that with ultrasound. And if we have a way to record the sound of what it is that we're hearing, we can then play that sound back and we get a visual FFT or a time waveform. And those impacting or the impacts or the faults on the slow speed bearing show up very nicely on the time waveform.
Excellent. Excellent. So we can monitor a variety of different conditions with using ultrasound.
Right.
Excellent. Now, what are some of the benefits of using ultrasound over some of the other monitoring technologies?
Well, you know, I will say this, you know, we, you know, at UE Systems, we never teach or recommend, oh, you need to only use ultrasound or you don't need to use vibration, just use ultrasound. But really, it's a combination of a multi-technology approach. And, you know, I always talk about, you know, asset criticality. You know, a good place to start is if we know what assets are critical to the process, and then we know how those assets can fail, you know, understanding the failure modes, then that will help us to determine what technology we need to apply that will find that fault or failure as early as we need to. But where ultrasound tends to be really good is ultrasound tends to be really good at finding early stage premature type bearing defects. And many of our users, I'm sure, are familiar with the P to F curve. But if you look at that P to F curve in regards to mechanical type faults, ultrasound is going to be that first tool that's going to give you an early indication of when P starts to happen. And again, we're just really good at finding these early stage type bearing fatigue, you know, bearing wear type defects. But if the failure that you're looking for is misalignment, ultrasound is not very good at that, where vibration analysis or some sort of precision alignment tool is very good at that. But again, if you are looking for early stage type bearing defects, then ultrasound is very good at doing that. But yeah, certainly you'd want to consider using more than one technology to monitor your assets, because different failure modes will give you different indicators at their time, you know, when they're occurring.
Yes, very good. Like you said, that multi-technology approach allows us to get a better insight into how that equipment's actually operating, the condition it's in. Not every technology gives you the best results or best detail regarding a specific failure mode. So by using that cross-technology or multi-technology approach, we can truly understand all really what's going on with that asset.
Right.
Now, how do you typically see ultrasound used in the condition monitoring program?
Okay, so we see really three ways. We see people using ultrasound as a standalone tool. So I talked early on about how not every plant, not every facility has the luxury of being able to invest in vibration equipment or, you know, lots of different tools. And a lot of times in those cases, it's only one person performing the condition monitoring routes or, you know, monitoring the assets. So ultrasound tends to be a really good fit for those types of environments because it's a minimal investment in the tool. And then that same tool can be used for a multitude of applications. So ultrasound can be used as a standalone tool to set up routes. And then we take that route and we load that into our ultraprobe. And depending on what ultraprobe is being used, at a minimum, we can store and trend decibel level readings on those points. So if we're doing route creation, if we're setting up routes and taking those readings, we can then set baselines, and then we can then set alarm levels on our equipment. So we know what decibel level it should be, and then based off of that baseline, we can set a low alarm, which is typically going to be 8 dB above the baseline, and that low alarm is going to indicate that the bearing is in need of lubrication. So we're going to know when it's time to be greased. The second alarm level setting is going to be 16 dB above the baseline, and that's going to be an indication that the bearing is now in a failure mode that is beyond a lack of lubrication. So at that point, the bearing will have some sort of fatigue or wear that lubrication is not the solution for. So once it reaches that high alarm, then we can make a determination if we need to follow up with a complementary technology to do kind of a second opinion test to determine exactly how severe it is, or you know, we can just continue to monitor it more closely now that we know that there's a problem. So again, at a minimum, we're able to store and then trend decibel level readings. But where really ultrasound is as a technology today is it's not just about listening. It's not just about the decibel level and then trending that decibel level over time. But we have the ability to record the sound of what it is that we're hearing. And there's a second software that comes with our two devices that have onboard sound recording, the UltraProbe 10,000 and the UltraProbe 15,000. But the second software is called UE Spectralizer. So we can take that recorded sound file, play it back, and we get a visual FFT and a time waveform. So in a sense, it becomes very similar to vibration analysis. So if you download that most current version of UE Spectralizer, you'll see that we've added a couple of fields in there to where if we know the speed, so the, if we know the RPM, and then if we know how many bearings or how many balls are in there, it will calculate out an outer race, inner race, ball pass, and a cage frequency. So with just a couple of pieces of information, we can determine if the fault that we're seeing is inner race, outer race, ball pass, cage frequency. We're also seeing users mainly on equipment that has VFDs. So if that VFD is installed and if it's not grounded properly, then eventually over time you can get electrical current flowing into your bearings, or a condition known as fluting. And if you have that condition taking place, it's very common to see 60 hertz or 50 hertz harmonics, indicating that we have electrical current in our bearings. So, you know, that's one way. You know, again, it can be used as a standalone. The most common way that we see it being used is to complement vibration analysis. So if you're in a facility where you are doing vibration analysis, it's not likely that vibration analysis is being done on all the assets. It's probably only being done on the more critical assets. So what people will do is they'll add in ultrasound for the technician to use, and that adds coverage. So they'll set up the equipment that's not currently being monitored with vibration analysis. They'll set that up on an ultrasound route, and they'll do exactly what I just talked about. You know, set up routes, set baselines, set alarm levels, and then they'll record the sound file on that baseline reading. So that way, once it reaches an alarm level again, or once it reaches an alarm level, we can then re-record the sound file and then compare that to our baseline. So we can do an overlay to see what the change is or what the fault is. And then the third way is, if a plant or facility is contracting out or using an outside service provider to do their vibration analysis, they will add in ultrasound and have ultrasound in-house. So at least they have something that they can use to go out and do regular routes, maybe things, equipment that the contractor or the service provider is not monitoring. Or it's a great way to make use of the service provider's time. So if they have routes set up with ultrasound, and if they're trending and they see where something is currently in the alarm level, then they can generate an alarm report. And then before the service provider ever walks through the door, they have their alarm report where ultrasound has indicated that there are some potential problems. So that gives the service provider an idea of where they should start, or equipment that they should make sure that they test with, say, vibration analysis to do that confirmation or that second opinion. So again, it can be used as a standalone if needed. It can be used to complement vibration analysis by, you know, adding in ultrasound to add more coverage, to add more monitoring to the equipment that's not currently being monitored. Or I will add to that, where we see a lot of people complementing ultrasound and vibration together is going to be on slow speed equipment. Ultrasound is very effective and very easy to use on slow speed rotating equipment. And by slow speed, I'm talking about anything below 100 RPM can be easily done with ultrasound. So that's where it also kind of complements vibration analysis. And then the third way is, again, if you're relying on an outside service provider to come in and do your vibration, you can have an ultrasound in-house, instrument in-house to use at your disposal when you need it, and to use to monitor equipment when the service provider is not at your facility.
Now, those are three excellent ways that you can use ultrasound. Now, I've always thought of a standalone system. I've always thought of, complementing another technology, whether it's thermography or vibration. But I never really thought of keeping it in-house to provide some internal support data for contractors that are taking care of your vibration, thermography, oil analysis, so on and so forth. That's really a good way to collect, keep some of the data, but also provide that validation that, yes, something is going on, or B, to point them to, hey, look at this asset. It's not one you normally monitor, but we potentially have an issue here. I really like that third way of using it.
Yep.
Now, ultrasound has come a long way over the years, but there's probably some myths out there that you would like to dispel about ultrasound and condition monitoring. What are those myths, and what do you have to say about them?
Yeah, the myths, I would say, like I said, ultrasound has been proven. It's become accepted as a technology for condition monitoring. And again, some of our best users are people who have that vibration background and previous experience with vibration analysis. So we have several webinars that have been done on the use of ultrasound and vibration together, not by anyone from UE Systems or not by anyone from any vibration analysis companies, but by actual practitioners who are using both technologies, and they have case file case studies available that they have found problems with ultrasound and then reconfirmed with vibration analysis. So it has been very fun and been just very cool to see ultrasound become an accepted tool for bearing condition monitoring. So I mentioned, you know, in our spectralizer software, you know, you can identify bearing fall frequencies, even if based off of your vibration analysis, you know what the fault frequency should be for a particular fault. You can simply enter that value in, you know, your hertz or your cycles per minute. And then you have cursors that will appear when you turn on that marker. And if they line up with on your FFT, if they line up with those peaks, it's pretty well safe to say that that's what the problem is. So I will say, you know, the myths have pretty much been debunked over time. You know, again, more and more people are using ultrasound and vibration together. And it's just been great to see that.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out iridicio.com for a free copy of their ebook, A Smarter Way of Preventative Maintenance. This ebook will allow you to review your current maintenance program and eliminate the non-value-added work you are doing, which is most likely causing you more downtime than it is preventing. www.iridicio.com. Now, in order to use some of these tools like you mentioned, the spectralizer, the UltraProbe 10,000, 15,000, and apply these tools and software on the actual condition monitoring of the program, what type of training do we need? Is it just simply, here's the tool, here's what buttons, here's how they do, or is there some more in-depth training that's required?
Yep. So what happens is when someone invests in an UltraProbe or one of our instruments, we will provide some initial training, whether that be on site or we can set up, you know, go to a meeting to do instrument specific or software specific training. So usually just after that initial equipment orientation style training, the user will be confident enough to go out and begin to listen to their equipment. And that's what I would recommend to anyone who's just starting out. You know, you have to think, if you listen to this podcast and then you go out, you have an UltraProbe or you have an instrument at your disposal, and you go out and you listen to something in your plant or facility without knowing any previous history on that equipment, we really don't know if that piece of equipment is good or bad. So I will say that initially a lot about ultrasound is going to be about comparison. So comparing decibel level readings on identical points on identical machines, and that'll give you a good indicator as to what's good and what's bad. And then once you begin to understand what things should and shouldn't sound like, that's where you can begin to, you know, set up those routes. And I would recommend that you set up your routes, you know, start out small, you know, start out on whatever your problem children are, you know, whatever your highest rate of failure is, you know, start out with those assets. And then once you have that data going, then you can branch out and begin to set up other routes. But start out small. Get a good idea as to what's good and what's bad just through doing the comparison. And then I will say, aside from training, procedures, I would say take a look at your procedures. You know, you can have the best ultrasound, you can have the best infrared, the best motor testing, the best vibration. But if you don't have the procedures in place that allow for the successful use of the tool, then the tool becomes useless. The tool gets put in a closet and becomes a dust collector. But as long as the right procedures that are in place which allow for the use of the tool, then that's where the tool can become effective. That's where, you know, you get the most out of it. And then any further training aside from the equipment orientation training, we offer level one and level two certification courses. We do just as many on-site courses as we do open enrollment courses. So if you have a number of technicians who need to be trained, or logistically, if you want to bring people together to one location, it's not an issue for us to come in and do like a training at a one central location. And the level one and level two courses are really go in depth into the science and theory, how ultrasound works. And then you spend equal amounts of time on the different applications, and then there's a final exam and certification. And then just over the last year, year and a half, we have released some online application-specific courses, one of those being a bearing and lubrication course that really goes into detail on how you can use ultrasound for bearing condition monitoring, what types of faults you can expect to find, even to the point of talking about the software, how to set up your routes. But we're all about support. So we're under the belief that if anybody has our equipment, we want them to be the best user as possible. So we're here to support anyone who's listening to the podcast that has our equipment. Maybe you're not using it for bearing condition monitoring, but you'd like to. You can reach out to us, and we'll be glad to set up some training for you.
Excellent. And I know on the past podcast, you mentioned procedures and the availability of some of these procedures. Where do people go if they want to get these procedures to support their ultrasound condition monitoring program?
Yep. So we are adding procedures, and this has been customer driven. So we, again, found out recently, and it just kind of dawned on us about why a lot of programs don't really launch the way they should, or why they're not sustained. And a lot of times that is a procedure problem. So we wanted to try to make that easy for our users. So we began to write some application-specific procedures. And if you'd like a copy of the procedures that we have available, you can send me an email, you know, reach out to me. I'm very active on social networks, you know, LinkedIn, and I go to a lot of conferences. So reach out to me, and I'll be glad to provide you with those procedures. But we wrote them in a way to where they're pretty much fill in the blanks. So you can just, you know, make some simple modifications, or, you know, make it to where it fits for you. But it will give you a good framework for setting up an ultrasound bearing condition monitoring program.
Excellent. And we'll make sure to provide links to those resources, whether it's you on LinkedIn, the UE website, those sorts of things, so people can get those procedures to help them drive and make a marked improvement using ultrasound. Now,
yep.
I'm sure in the course of your day-to-day life, you see a lot of success stories with using ultrasound for condition monitoring. Can you share one or two of those with us?
Sure. The ones that I'll share, they're also previous Ultrasound World presentations. But one that I was directly involved with was a plant that actually recycles plastic bottles. And then they take those plastic bottles and they chip them up, and then they extrude them down and they make fiber for the backing of carpet. But they were in a plant that was very reactive. They were not currently doing any condition monitoring. But the people who knew they needed to be doing something were former vibration analysts. So ultrasound was a good fit for that facility because the skill level, just the harshness of the environment, there were just a lot of challenges. So about 4 years ago, they implemented an UltraProbe 15,000 for their bearing condition monitoring routes. And they went on their bearing failures. They went from having about one bearing catastrophic type bearing failure a month to where once they got their routes set up, once they got some data going, and once they kind of found, you know, what was good and what was bad, and then they then ranked with all the stuff that they found that was bad, they began to just kind of rank stuff and go in order of, okay, out of all this that's bad, you know, what's the worst? And they just kind of began to work their way through it. But they have not had any catastrophic bearing failures in over 3 years. And that's just from using UltraProbe 15,000. They run routes every day. And aside from using it for bearing condition monitoring, they've also had some pretty significant savings on the compressed air side as well.
Excellent. So significant improvements by using ultrasound to drive more of a proactive maintenance approach. Excellent. Now, any other thoughts on using ultrasound for condition monitoring that you want to share with us?
Yeah, you know, I mentioned slow speed equipment, and I have some sound file examples of bearings that are slow speed. I've got a couple that are 80 RPM. I've got a couple that are 1 RPM. I've got a couple that are 10 RPM. But it truly is very easy to do or easy to use ultrasound on slow speed rotating equipment. Now, I will say that a good, let's say a 10 RPM bearing, a good one, is going to have little to no ultrasonic sound to it. It may not even register a decibel level. But what happens is if you have a fault that starts to occur, that fault will then create a click or a pop or a screech. And of course, you're going to hear that in your headset. And then if you have a way to record the sound of it, those faults show up very nicely on the time waveform. So yeah, I would just say to do it. If you have an instrument at your disposal now, you know, take it out and start using it. If you have an instrument that has frequency tuning, this is something that we really haven't talked about yet, but the with ultrasound, you have the ability to monitor or change the frequency. So very similar to the way that you would adjust the frequency or the radio stations in your car or on your radio, we can tune or adjust the frequency on our UltraProbe. So the frequency setting that we would recommend for bearing inspection is 30 kilohertz. So if you have an UltraProbe 2000, a 9000, a 10,000, or a 15,000, those devices have frequency tuning capability. So we can tune it or set it to the recommended frequency setting for that application. So for compressed air leak detection, we recommend a frequency setting of 40 kilohertz. For your slow speed bearings, we want to lower that frequency setting down in the 20 to 25 kilohertz range. And then for steam traps and valve leak detection applications, the frequency setting that we recommend is 25 kilohertz. And those frequency settings are referenced in an ISO standard for recommended use and guidelines for ultrasound, and that's ISO 29821. There's a part one and a part two.
Excellent. I was not aware of using that frequency tuning in this way for these different applications. And now, just to make sure our listeners got that reference, what is that ISO standard again?
Yeah, sure. It's ISO 29821, and there's a part one and a part two. And part one has the recommended frequency settings for the different applications.
Excellent. That is a great resource. We will provide a link to as well. Now, what is the one thing you think makes the biggest difference in being successful with ultrasound for condition monitoring?
Again, it's procedures. You know, it's hard when you have a plant or a facility who wants to continue to operate reactively. And it doesn't happen that much, but programs I hate to say program because they really don't have a program. I mean, it's one thing to say, yes, we have ultrasound, but it's another to say, yes, we have an ultrasound program. But, you know, you have facilities that will occasionally invest in a condition monitoring tool, not necessarily just ultrasound or, you know, vibration or infrared, but, you know, they'll want to throw condition monitoring tools at reactive problems. You know, we really need to be getting at the root cause of, you know, if we're having the same bearing failure over and over and over again, you know, well, why are we having the same problem over and over and over again? You know, If we're using ultrasound and we're finding these bearing problems over and over again, well, you know, maybe the root cause is misalignment. You know, maybe the equipment that we're monitoring is just misaligned. Again, and that relates back to procedures, you know, having procedures in place to where, yeah, we're finding all these problems with ultrasound. But if we're having the same problems over and over, you know, why are we having those problems repetitively?
Excellent. So it's using those procedures and using the equipment properly. That's the one thing that you think makes the biggest difference. If we're using it in a proactive manner and we have the procedures to make sure we're using it properly.
That's right.
All right. Excellent. Now, what is the one action you want our listeners to take away from the conversation today?
Yeah, the one action would be to do something. You know, we've said over the years that our biggest competition are just people who choose to do nothing. So I would recommend that you begin to learn more about the tool, learn more about the technology. You know, and you'll see that, you know, yeah, there's the initial time that it takes to, you know, set up routes, to begin to collect data, set baselines. Yeah, that initial time is a little tedious, but, you know, in the long run, that's where you get the most benefit out of the tool. So, again, just continue to learn more about the technology, learn more about the application, learn more about, you know, bearing condition monitoring, and you'll see that it can become a very effective tool to hopefully reduce the amount of downtime that we have, especially the amount of unplanned downtime. You know, we can then better schedule our work, you know, all these things. You know, once you begin an effective ultrasound bearing condition monitoring program, you just continue to get more and more benefit. You know, we know about problems sooner. You know, we can schedule the work, you know, more productive type work can be done. And then we're finding failures before they become severe problems.
Excellent. That is a great takeaway. Now, where can people find out more about these tools, like the UltraProbe 10,000, the UltraProbe 15,000, the Spectra Analyzer? Where can they find out more about those and the training to go along with that and actual implementing condition or ultrasound for condition monitoring?
Yeah, sure. You know, we have a tremendous amount of resources located on our website. It's just uesystems.com. And once you go there, you'll then see links that will take you to various pages. So one of those being the training link. So if you go to uesystems.com and click on training, you'll then see a link on the left for our current level one and level two training schedule. You'll see a link for information about each one of the online application specific courses that we have. And then you'll also see an on-demand training section of our website. And that's where you can find product tutorials, you can find software tutorials, and then you can find application-specific webinar presentations that have been done. And the majority of those presentations are not done by UE Systems. They're done by actual practitioners, users of our equipment, and they're sharing their success stories, sharing their finds. So that in itself is a great resource for anyone who wants to learn more about the technology, more about bearing condition monitoring, and then all the other applications that you can use ultrasound for. All of those presentations are archived by application.
Excellent. I will make sure to provide links to all those in the show notes. People can easily just click and be brought right to those resources. Now, where can people find out more about you? What conferences are you going to be at later this year? What activities are you involved in at the moment?
Yeah, so I'm very active on social media. So I do have a Twitter. It's just at Adrian Messer. And also on LinkedIn. So follow me on LinkedIn, reach out and become a connection. We also have an UltraProbe users group on LinkedIn to where you can share questions, share finds. So that can be a great resource for anyone that's currently using ultrasound or would like to know more. Conferences, I guess the next big event that we have coming up will be the SMRP conference coming up this year in Orlando. So that's the annual conference. I'll be doing a workshop there with Roy Huff, who is the president of Snell Infrared. We're doing a workshop. It's just a half-day workshop on using ultrasound and infrared together for improved electrical inspection procedures and programs. We'll also be at the IMC conference by Reliability Web down in Bonita Springs, Florida in December. And then I was also invited to speak at a new conference that's put on by Noria that will be in November in Houston, and that's the Machinery Lubrication Conference.
Excellent. I will make sure to provide links to all those. And I know your Canadian division is usually a guest at the PMAC conference as well. And I believe you guys are sponsoring that event this year as well.
That's right. Sean Miller, who is our Canadian operations manager, has been a longtime supporter of PMAC. So I have no doubt that he'll be there this year.
Excellent. Well, I will make sure to provide links to all these different conferences that you will be at as well. So those that are interested in that workshop on using thermography and ultrasound together can easily find that. Now, before we go, do you have any other resources you want to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I mentioned our website, and we have links on our website to other industry resources. But again, the majority of the webinar presentations, especially the ones on bearing condition monitoring that have been done not by UE Systems personnel. We've had some industry experts. We've had Terry Harris, Andy Page, Chuck Peterson, Joe Gerlach. You know, we've had lots of industry resources, respected professionals in the industry do those web presentations for us. So I would say for anyone, that's a great place to start, and that's the on-demand training section of our website.
Excellent. Well, I'll make sure to link back to that as well. Well, Adrian, I want to thank you for taking the time to share your vast knowledge on ultrasound condition monitoring with us today. Once again, I learned new things about ultrasound I was not aware of, such as these different frequencies, the ISO standards, and a variety of other things. So thank you again for sharing your vast knowledge with us today.
Well, thank you, James, and it was a pleasure being here, and I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Thank you. I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.